is decisions of faith, decisions of faith. And we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, 23 through 29. You have your Bibles, please take your Bibles, open them up. Why? So that we know that you know that I'm preaching to you, thus says the Word of God, not the Word of men. So take your Scripture, whether electronically or in your hand. If you don't have a Bible with you, a pew Bible in front of you, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verse 23. Let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23, and then we'll be going through 29. The Word of God says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became a child or of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, touch our hearts with the preaching of your word today for your glory." And all God's people said, you may be seated. Life is full of decisions, is it not? Some are simple and we don't put a lot of thought in and it don't seem very important. And others are extremely important and we might take a long time in making our decision. That's just how life is for each and every one of us. And when we get to this section, Christian living involves making right decisions. Can I get an amen? It means making right decisions. You can see how mature a Christian is by the decision making that they make that involves their lives and how they live. Our Christian living rises and falls in the maturity and holiness on the basis of decisions that we make biblically. Right choices are made on the basis of right faith. And so when we think about that, Satan tries to make his way seem so attractive to us many times. Moses was a great example of right decisions. Moses was probably the greatest man that ever lived in Israel, even greater than Abraham. Why? Well, think about it. He was the greatest prophet. He prophesied. He was the greatest lawgiver. He was the greatest historian. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. He was the greatest leader. He led the children of Israel out of the Exodus. He was a great man. Great deliverer. His faith influenced the decisions on his journey, as ours should as well. And so let's learn about 3 of the decisions that influenced his faith this morning. The first is, I want you to look, faith influenced his parents. Look at verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." Both Moses' parents, listen, can anybody tell me who was Moses' parents? Call them out, come on. This is a Bible drill. Who was his parents? Who was his dad? Anybody say? Huh? What'd you say, gang? God, that's nice. Amram and Jochebed. Amram and Jochebed. How do we know that? Exodus chapter 6. I think it's 6, verses 6 or 8, somewhere in there, where they're given the lineage. His dad was Amram. His mom was Jochebed. And so they were both Levites, of the tribe of Levites, and they lived in some of the darkest days of Israel. You say, how do you know that? They were in Egypt. The scriptures tell us the next, they're in Egypt. They're under slavery, they're under bondage, and the Pharaoh, they're having such a population explosion. And what did he say? He tells the midwives, he says, "Listen, if it's a male child, toss him in the Nile. It's a female, she's all right, she can live, but any male child was to be tossed in the Nile," trying to get this population explosion under control is what he was doing. So that's dark days, isn't it? That's a tough time to be born in, isn't it, under that command. And so Jochebed conceived, and they both chose, Moses' dad and mom, they chose what? By faith, not to throw him in the Nile. they hid him. They ignored the pressures of the threats of the kingdom and the world because why? It came in conflict with the ways of God. Do you hear me? When the ways of the world come in conflict with the ways of God, we choose the ways of God always. Why? How do I know this? Because they saw that he was a beautiful child. Now, when you see that, first thing I thought, how many moms and dads doesn't think that their child is beautiful, right? It doesn't matter if their head's still cone-shaped or whatever, or they're purple or red or still got white gook all over them. It's like, they're beautiful! It's not that type of beauty, okay? And when you think about the translation of it, really it's recorded there that they saw that he was a beautiful child, but it's really it's not just a physical beauty, but they saw that he was no ordinary child. They saw that God had a plan and purpose. Do you understand God has a plan and purpose for every one of your children? They saw he had a plan and a purpose for it. And so what did they do? I believe it somehow that they saw God's hand on him. God had this great plan and purpose for Moses. And he did not want him destroyed or thrown in the Nile, but he wanted him to grow up to be the man that God had called him to be. And so we see that they take this into consideration, and what do? They do something different than what the world told them to do, what the king had told them to do. They hid him. How many people know that you can't hold him? You can't hide a 3-month-old boy very long, right? He's going to let people know he's around there, right? He gets hungry, his diaper gets dirty, he wants to go to sleep, he don't get enough sleep, he's going to tell somebody. Can you imagine you're trying to hide him? And so they realize that they're going to have to do something. It says, and why do I believe that they thought he was so special? It says, by faith in God. You hear that? Don't miss that little sentence. By faith in God, they hid him and opposed Pharaoh's order. It was for God's sake, as well as Moses and their own, that this baby was protected. Moses' parents were willing to risk their own life to follow God's way. That came with a cost when you made that choice and went against Pharaoh, that if they were found out, they could all die. They were willing to risk their own life to follow God's way. And then that decision was clear. Save the child, whatever the consequences. This faith was what was influencing their decision. We will save this child. We will not listen to what the king or Pharaoh says. And it became impossible to hide him, so what did they do? Well, his mom floats him right into the palace. Now listen, ladies. Now you know, and the amazing thing about women is they know how women think, okay? We don't have a clue as guys sometimes. In fact, if we did, we'd write a book and make $1 million, maybe more than that. But women understand how women think, because I can almost see Jochebed saying, we're going to have to do something. She makes this little basket of reeds, puts pitch on it. She knows where Pharaoh's daughter takes and goes and bathes on the Nile. She knows all these things. And she's thinking, if she could just see this child, she won't destroy him. It's almost God's directing her hand. And so, now, don't forget Miriam. She's walking the bank, too. She's there. Miriam's older sister's involved with it. And so, she pushes him out. The basket goes to where Pharaoh's daughter's going to bathe. She comes out to bathe. And can you imagine big sisters over there watching? I'd say there's some praying going on, too, don't you? And it said that she opened the basket and just fell in love with Moses. Fell in love with Moses. And guess what? Big sister steps up and says, Hey, I know what. There's probably a Hebrew lady in the camp here that could nurse this baby for you. What do you think? Oh, that's a great idea. You know what she does? She goes and gets her own mom. Moses' mom is paid to take care of her own baby. Okay, let's just don't miss that. That's God. That's God doing that. And so here she is. She's got this baby. Moses' sister takes care of it. And so Moses' own mom is paid to take care of him. And think about what encouragement. He was preserved to deliver Israel. He got to go and sit on his mom's lap and was weaned. And she taught him about the things of God, taught him about the people, all these things that would influence in him, that would influence him later. Greatest influence came from the hood of some slaves, his own mom and dad. God had a plan and purpose for him. Decisions that were made, Moses' parents were influenced. understand there's a gap here when we get in there. But not only was his faith influenced his parents, but faith influenced his person. Look at verses 24 and 26. It says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of the sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. See, the maturity of faith is he identifies not with the Egyptians, but with the people of God. Faith influences person. It says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a prince of Egypt. The rejection of this dignity. Listen, the 19th century dynasty of Egypt was wealthy, huge. It was one of the greatest influences in all the world. He was part in the palace. He was part of the royal court. And he could have had anything. He could have had anything he wanted. He was educated the best. He had the best training militarily. He had access to anything. Man, think about the libraries and all the books and all these things that he had access to. It's amazing how, if we're not careful, wealth often corrupts. And it gives this illusion, if we're not careful, of character. And it dilutes the perception and our choices if we're not careful. But it didn't here. We see that Moses rejects that. You know what he said? I don't want it. It's not what I am. It's okay to love our culture. It's okay to love our culture. It can be a wonderful thing, but we do not embrace the spirit of this age. The world, faith says no to that. Because we'll see his faith. What did it reject? The world's prestige. Look what it says. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here, Moses lived in the palace. He was a prince. He had all these cultured things, highly educated. He was a member of that court. And you know what he said? He says, no, I refuse this. Not only did it refuse that, but it refuses the world's pleasure. Not only the world's prestige, but the world's pleasure. Choosing, listen what the scripture says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin's often fun. It's fun, it can feed our pride, it can satisfy our physical desires and our appetites and offer many pleasures, but it's always evil, it's always passing, and its pleasure fades. It never brings any lasting satisfaction. There's no good in it. Moses rejects that. Moses knew God was calling him to give his life for his people. He had a choice. He could obey or disobey. He made the decision to be influenced by faith. To obey. We have those same choices every day. To obey or disobey. Not only did it reject the world's prestige or the world's pleasures, but look, the world's plenty. Look what it says. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Here is why he made his choice. You know what he did? He identifies. I love this. The writer of Hebrews says he identified with a messianic. We identify with a messianic people. We celebrate today the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. It says that he identifies with a messianic people. He didn't identify with the Egyptians and the things of the world, but he identifies with the Israelites and the people of God. And he looks forward to the Christ to come. It says in his faith he saw these things and he makes his choice. He's looking for, I like that. He's not identified. He's not identified with Egypt and its pleasures and its riches and its prestige. But he's saying, I'm identified with the people of Christ and the coming Messiah. And I choose this. And it says right here that he looked towards a reward. You remember? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see that faith here. It wasn't about what he could get in the temporal, the here and now, which he had everything and had access to everything. But he said there's something far greater than just the here and now. And that's the kingdom in the future. Do you understand that this morning? Oh, we worship and we decorate and we buy presents and we think about Christmas. And if we're not careful, it's just a season that becomes our influence instead of what it is that we're celebrating. It's Christ. Christ has come. Use this time to share the gospel, to point people to him. Why? It's the only thing of any significance in our life or in this world. We look forward to the day that we're with Him, where all God's people are together in heaven. But until then, He's called us to live in this, in our communities, in our world, and to share that great love. We see that the video today, IMB, and it brings tears to my eyes because I think, man, a lot of the missionaries are these young women that are willing to go plant herself, man, in these foreign places, forsaking the things of, they're not worried about the next fashion trend or all these things. They're worried about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the time is short. Moses rejected the things of Egypt and chose to be seen with the people of God. He looked for the Lord. He realized that all the world's treasures couldn't compare to the surpassing knowledge of what was to come. Do you realize that today? What are you working for today? What is your drive? What is your purpose? What is your motive in life? Is it the world's pleasures? Are we working to get to that time when we can just retire and do whatever we want to do? Is that what's driving us? Is that our whole purpose and plan? The American dream? Is it? Or do we realize there's something far greater than the American dream, and that is the promises of God. And that one day that we'll all go to be with Jesus in heaven together, those that have received Him. And taking that motivation to realize that there's something greater than the temporal, and that's the eternal. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying that Moses did. He's given us this great example, the surpassing knowledge of what was to come. And listen, I want you to understand, we have more promises than Moses had. We have the full canon of God's Word. We have more promises to rest upon than he had. How much more so should we be these people that are purposing and are driven to fulfill the things and to fulfill the kingdom of God? See, faith not only influenced his parents, and faith influenced his person, but lastly, faith influenced his place. Look at verses 27 through 29. By faith, it says, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. His faith influenced his place. He did not only reject the pleasures of Egypt and sin, but he rejected the place of sin. He left why? Hey, he left running one time because he kills the Egyptian guard that's beating one of the children. If you know the story, he buries him in the sand. Guess what? He was seen. And it comes out real quick, and he's out of there because Pharaoh's going to kill him for that. So he leaves and goes to Midian, spends 40 years in the desert being prepared for what God had for him. The next time, Pharaoh's trying to keep him there because he's ready to go and take the Israelites with him. But he leaves Egypt. He leaves that influence there. And we see them, for he endured, I love this, as seeing him who is invisible. He would get a glimpse. Listen, oh my goodness, think about Moses. He would get a glimpse of God himself, hit him in the cleft of the rock, put his hand there, said he just saw the backside of him. I don't know about you, but I've never spent enough time with God that I glowed. They scared. He come off the mountain and he glowed, and it says they had to put a veil over his face where he could communicate. He was glowing. That's spending time with God, my friend. That was you talk about a great man here. He forsook the things of God. He saw the one that was invisible. He saw God. He was God's friend. He spent time together. We're still influenced by him. Today, 2018, real and relevant, the Ten Commandments. Where did they come from? Moses, on Mount Sinai. God writes it down, and here they are, still that we can see, still that influence our life, still that keep our communities in check. Christianity sees the invisible. Look around, we're here, worshiping the God we cannot see, but we can see. How do I see him? I look around and see him everywhere. I see him in the faces of God's people. I see him in this huge,
beautiful creation and the sunshine and the birds. I see Him in all these mountains. I see Him everywhere. We see the invisible and we worship the invisible. It's normal for us as Christians. It's faith. That's why we gather. The 10 plagues, you know the story, would culminate in the killing of the firstborn of Egypt. And we see that in verse 28 where it talks about the Passover. If you remember the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh's heart would be hardened and he would not let the people go. Let my people go. And he, time and time again, he gets down and he's sitting low and say, this is it. If you don't let us go, the death angel is going to come and every firstborn will be killed in Egypt. We know the story well. God tells Moses, he says, you take this lamb, this Passover lamb, this Passover lamb, you kill it, you eat it a certain way, you eat it with certain things, and you take the blood of that lamb and you put it over the doorpost. And whenever the death angel comes and he sees that blood, that I'll pass over. That's why it's called, I'll pass over. I will not kill them. The firstborn will not be killed in that house. Listen, do you not think about it? This has never happened before. Oh, we'll have the Lord's Supper at the end that takes the place of that. This has never happened, the Passover, how these odd things that God tells them to do. What do? Oh, Moses comes and relays it to them and they obey it. And the Passover happens and the death angel comes and there's not a house that's not affected in all Egypt. The cry went forth. And you know what the cry went forth? Get me, Moses. Get out of here. Leave. It's time for you to go. See them marching out that night. They were ready, by the way. It was part of they be prepared. Be prepared to go. They left Egypt. The Egyptians give them everything as they went. Left out. And they're headed out, listen, and it's not long before the Egyptians are scratching their heads saying, what have we just done? And guess what? They're following. Moses is leading them, and he's following God's direction. It wasn't that, hey, God, did God get messed up and send them in the wrong direction? They're headed for the Red Sea. They're headed for a dead end, or it looks like a dead end. Now, I want you to think about, you've left, you finally got free, and so you're at the top of the mountain, you're celebrating, your kids are finally free, and all of a sudden you see a big cloud behind you. And you know what it is? It's the horses. They're after you. The army of Egypt, the greatest army on the earth. And there you are, a bunch of slaves, and they're barreling down on you. And here you are looking at the sea. You're caught. You're trapped. And that's why he mentions this when he talks about the Red Sea. One of the greatest things. Moses believed in God. He believed in the Word of God so much that the action, he obeyed, and there they stood at the Red Sea. You know what? We don't see Moses saying, what have you done, Lord? I want you to know something. They wasn't out there singing a hallelujah choir either. You know what they were saying, the children of Israel? Why were they not enough graves in Egypt? We'd have been better off for us to die there than to die in the desert. Which, what prophecy ever one of them would, except Joshua and Caleb, by the way, in the next 40 years. It'd be better for us to die there than die in the desert. You know what Moses said? Just watch God's deliverance. Can you imagine? He holds the staff up. There you are. You're looking back. You're thinking, oh, this is not going to end well. And the sea parts. God parts the Red Sea. I don't know about you. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Word of God. Okay? The Scripture says that the sea, the wind come and parted the Red Sea, and it was like dry ground. And I want you know what? One man's faith made a difference in an entire people's community right here. They went out and they went past through the Red Sea. And it says, whereas the Egyptians, there they are. They get through the Red Sea and they get to the other side. But they look back, guess what? The Egyptians are following them. I don't know about you, that ain't very smart, is it? I'm thinking if God would part the Red Sea, they're so mad, so angry. But God had a plan and a purpose, and He was going to show them that He was in control and that He was mightier than any army. What did He do? Moses holds the staff back up, and the sea closes in and kills all the Egyptians, defeats the entire Egyptian army. And not one of them had Ray had to fight one night. And we see that it's mentioned time and time again. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians tempted to do so were drowned. Moses' faith affected. Can one person make a difference? The people listened to Moses and followed in faith. One person's faith can elevate and preserve the faith of the entire people. Your faith can make a difference. Your faith can make a difference in your family. What would be the means to the, what would this mean to those Hebrew believers as they read these scriptures, as the writer was encouraging them? You know what he's saying? Keep pressing forward. Sometimes you feel like you're in your exile. Sometimes you feel like you're in your Egypt. Press forward. It's the same God. It's the same God. These Hebrew believers, listen, don't look back. Look forward. There's nothing to go back to. Look forward. The end is in sight. See God. See Christ. See the culmination of it all. Believing. And we see it time and time again. Believe God's Word. Seeing as seeing the unseen. Listen, you live in an anti-Christian society today. And if the Lord tarries, you will see persecution. Or your children will, or your grandchildren. It will come. How will we ever make it? How will we ever make it? By holding on to the promises of God and believing what He says. We see that time and time again. What was it that Moses based his faith on? Was it a fable? Was it a feeling? Was it just faith in faith? It was the foundation of the promises of the Word of God. God said it, and he believed it. He did it. He followed him. The same way, the only way we're ever going to make it is it has to be all your beliefs and what you believe and say, well, I don't believe this way. What are you basing it off of? Base it off of the Word of God, or else it's just an opinion. It's just an opinion. You know what they say about opinion? It's like underarms. Everybody's got them and most of them stink. It's not. We don't need opinions. We need the Word of God. And that's what Moses based his faith upon. And when we see these decisions, these great decisions of faith, take it to heart. We have more truth than Moses ever had. Read it, study it, base your life upon it, make your choices. Be people of faith that are not held and bound by the temporal, but are looking towards the eternal. Be God's people. Applications of what kind of faith are you passing on? You say, well, I don't have kids. I'm not talking about you kids. This influence right here, Moses was influencing an entire group of people. They weren't his kids. They was his family. What kind of influence are you passing on? It could be mom and dad. What kind of faith are you showing your kids? Do you understand that their faith will be like based upon a lot about what they've saw from you? How what? How you handle situations, how you do church, how you, all these things, how you worship God, how you give, all these things will be based. Their first orientation of faith is you. Number two, how can you face an uncertain tomorrow? Like the old song says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be concerned because Christ, our hope, the Advent candle, our hope is here. He's came. He's coming again. Stand to our feet for our last one. How will you respond in faith? How will you respond in faith? Will you continue to do life like you always do it? Or will you base your opinions, your way of life, the things that you do, why you stand on what you do on the Word of God? Not what the world tells us, not what our feelings tell us, but thus says the Word of God. Is anybody lost here today that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? He stands. The candle of hope burns. He stands. He's still the hope of the world. Are you searching in life? Are you looking to try to find satisfaction in this world? You will not find it here. Bow your heads before a holy God. Anybody lost? It's been a great day. First Advent. Anybody need Jesus Christ? Just give your heart to Him today. He's calling. He's calling. Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Do you have eternal security one day that when you leave here, and we all will, that we'll stand before God because of what Christ has done? He can give you that hope. Anybody need Christ today? Don't turn him. put it off. Don't try to get things correct. You can't. Just give it to Him. What about somebody struggling? Maybe this season has brought anxiety to you instead because you're caught up in the what you got to do instead of what it's all about. You just need to say to Christ, hey, you know what, Lord? Today, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to leave it to You, and I'm saying, Lord, it's about You and about the hope that You bring into this season. Help me to be that representative. What's God saying to you? Be obedient. Not going to give along. Not going to beg. Whatever the Lord's saying. Altar's open. Flows from Calvary's mountain. Amen. Listen to me. Look here. You need Christ. You need to talk to me, please. Nothing too busy. Nothing that we can't put aside that we can't talk to you. If you need to talk to me about Christ or something that the Lord is dealing with you, let me know. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll have our brotherhood, our women's meeting. Be people of faith. Walk out this door. Don't get caught up in the world in the way it does Christmas and the things it tug at us, but be people of faith and know there's so much more than just this temporal life, but the eternal awaits, okay? Lee closes in.